Israel observed the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz this past week, commemorating the Holocaust. Three hostages from Israel were released already this week, along with five Thai foreign workers. Three more are going to be released later on this weekend. Trump has a plan to relocate Palestinians out of Gaza into Egypt and Jordan. The top terrorist in the West Bank has been killed, and Hezbollah has agreed and extended the ceasefire for 30 days in Lebanon. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, January 31st of the year 2025. And here's the news around the Middle East for this week. This past Monday, Israel observed Holocaust Memorial Day. There was a ceremony at Auschwitz. It's 80 years since the liberation of Auschwitz from the Holocaust. We have a short video clip for you of that ceremony.
The world may never see another moment like this. Eyewitnesses to genocide, returning 8 decades after they were liberated. Eva Umlauf was too young to remember, but Nazi Germany's unspeakable horrors are embedded in her skin. She was tattooed before her second birthday.
You are just a number, but this number is not only on the skin. This is deep.
Auschwitz was Hitler's largest extermination camp, a place where roughly 1.1 million were killed, most of them Jews. But victims were also Poles, gay men, Roma and Sinti, and Soviet POWs. For those who were not killed, humanity was stripped away.
Hundreds of thousands of Jews were brought here on cattle cars like these. They were given no food, no real bathroom. And when they arrived, families were torn apart. Some were chosen for work, but most were murdered.
This was called the Selection, in an area known as the Jew Ramp. Children, the elderly, and the disabled were singled out for gassing. The Nazis looked for twins for human experimentation. Others became slave laborers. Entire families vanished.
I held on tightly to my mother's hand in the dark cattle car for countless hours, while the cries and the prayers of so many desperate women permeated my soul and haunt me to this day.
Tova Friedman arrived here when she was 5. At one point, her mother hid her among corpses so she wouldn't be killed.
I recall thinking, I will never let them know how much they are hurting me.
The Nazis tried to hide proof of their crimes, but the evidence is still here. Piles of shoes, glasses, suitcases.
Often two people would be sleeping in just one bed on these basic bunks. And in a block building like this one, 700 to 1,000 people would be crammed in at one time.
This gas chamber still standing. We're asked not to speak as we walk through. What could you even say? Now the Auschwitz Museum is preparing for a future without eyewitnesses by thinking about what people ask the elderly survivors.
They ask about emotions, and art carry emotion.
The museum planning an art gallery featuring pieces by prisoners and survivors. For now, these survivors speaking to a crowd including King Charles and President Zelensky at a time when anti-Semitism is surging. In 2018, 58% of Americans thought something like the Holocaust could happen again. Today, 76% think it's a possibility.
We will never, never, ever allow history to repeat itself.
There is growing anti-Semitism all around the world, and despite the Holocaust remembrance effort to never forget, it appears the world is forgetting that 80-some years ago, there was mass murder being carried out against the Jewish people. But instead, it seems like the world has flipped its head and has gone the other way. In Australia, for example, Jews are having to remove their kippot and wearing them in public, taking mezot off the doorposts of their homes to try to hide their Jewishness. There's true fear to the Jewish people in that country. As you know, Israel has outlawed UNRWA because UNRWA, the UN Relief Agency, is full of terrorists, and they're operating all around the world, even in Israel. And so Israel said, we got to get them out of here. And the UN, of course, is very embarrassed about the fact, but still defending themselves for having done what they have done. Trump has vowed to fight anti-Semitism here in the United States. I applaud that. However, the evil of Hamas, the slaughter back on October 7th, you would have thought it should have, people should have just rejected it outright, but instead, it seems to have inspired anti-Jewish hatred all around the world. And you can't imagine how that such evil could promote such things, but to the shock of everyone, that's what's taking place. There were three hostages released this week, including Arbel Yehud. This is the young lady, the civilian. She was released early, along with five Thai foreign workers. I can assure you that the families that where they came from in Thailand, they were extremely pleased to see their family members return. Israel, of course, was excited to see Arbel Yehud return. And because of the delay and because of her, Israel blocked the Palestinians going back into northern Gaza. This is part of the terms of the ceasefire that they would be allowed to return. Now, they were blocked along that coastal road along the Mediterranean Sea. Interestingly enough, there is an American security firm that has been contracted. They are the ones who are controlling that checkpoint when they're all manned by special ops soldiers. I can assure you that's some very risky business to be in. And they are screening all the returnees to make sure they're not bringing any weapons in there. And in fact, this last week, they found a fake UN vehicle trying to pass themselves off as a UN vehicle and block them. And they're providing security and safety to the Palestinians coming back into North Gaza. We're expecting three more men to be released this weekend, and one of them is Yarden Beebis. He's the father of the two children and the woman that were taken hostage. Now, he was taken hostage in the northern part of Gaza. His wife and children were taken hostage in the lower parts. They were never together as hostages. He's being released. Of course, the big question is, what about his wife, Sherry, and their two children? And the other hostage is going to be released also this weekend is the American Israeli Keith Siegel. We're glad to see that come back. If you'll recall, the ceasefire agreement was that the women and the aged were to be released first. We got one guy back who was 80 years old. We got some women that have come back, and now all of a sudden they're giving men back. And the question is, are there any more women and are there any more aged of the hostages? And this does not speak well for the fate of them. Negotiations are now definitely underway for the other hostages beyond the 33 in this first phase. They're making plans and they're trying to do everything they can to get that set up. And according to Hamas, there's going to be eight dead bodies being returned in this group of 33. And as I said to you, the Beebis family, Sherry, the mother, and her two children, Ariel, age 5, and Kiefer, age 2, small children in this case, Hamas is not talking about them being returned. So there's great concern about whether or not they're alive or not. Now, there was a report about them when they were in the news being talked about that family that, first of all, Hamas came and said, oh, they were killed by an Israeli airstrike, and that was proved to be false. And so there was the belief that they were alive, but we have not heard anything good with regard to them, and there's great concern about whether or not they're with us. Also, the fact that the two children were red-headed, there's also concern that they may have been sold as opposed to being killed. And this is just speaks to the horrific nature of what's going on there in getting hostages out of Gaza. very soon, we're going to be seeing dead bodies come back. Now, there's been celebration, of course, with the live hostages coming back, relief for those families and for those people. But what can we expect when dead bodies start coming back? And right now, there's a lot more to be released than there are to that have been released. In exchange for the hostages that we're getting this week, over 100 Palestinian prisoners have been released, including some very bad characters. And there's a big question about where in the world are they going? Are they going to leave the country? Are they going to go back into the Jenin and Tukarim in the Sumerian cities that are Palestinian controlled? Are they going to go back to Gaza? Nobody seems to really know the answer to that, and that's causing concern as well. President Trump, in looking at the entire situation in Gaza and dealing with the subject of how do we bring this thing to a conclusion, pitched the idea that the Palestinians ought to be resettled into Gaza and into Jordan. There are Palestinians down in the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt. There are many Palestinians that are in Jordan. There are Palestinian communities there. He was suggesting that they could be relocated there before they attempt to rebuild any of Gaza and set it up. His real plan, though, is about taking the elements that are so opposed to Israel and placing them where they don't have access to Israel, such as Gaza does to southern Israel. Immediately upon pitching his plan, it was soundly rejected by Egypt, by Jordan, and a whole bunch of other people saying they're not going to do it. The Palestinians, of course, said they're not going to do it. And Trump turned right around and says, no, they will agree to it. And he doubled down on the whole thing. And the reason why he's pushing that is because the unbelievable hatred for the Jews and for Israel. These people, and I'm talking civilians as well as the military elements such as Hamas and the Palestine Islamic Jihad elements, have called for the complete annihilation of Israel. They want to kill every Jew. And they want to kill every Israelite. They want to destroy the nation. But the problem is this is not a war about a state to state. This is not a war about conquest of land. They simply want Israel dead. And so that's what makes this war a whole lot different from other previous wars, and everybody trying to solve it is not approaching it for what the problem it is. The problem is this is a religious war. This is a war about whose God is bigger. And the reason why you keep hearing the Palestinians yelling Allah Akbar every time something happens, that expression means that Allah is better or bigger or greater. And they're trying to assert in everything they do that Allah is bigger than Israel and is bigger than the Jewish people and is bigger than the God of Israel. Now, you don't hear him mentioned very often, the God of Israel. However, the prophets of Israel have talked about this situation, about what God's doing with it. And one of the prophet Zechariah, made this statement. He said that in the last days, that Judah will be in the land, and Judah will be surrounded by enemies that will be like dry sheaves and wood, and that Judah will be like a fire pot, and every time they come into contact with Judah, they will be burned. And in this last year, we have watched Iran, the proxies of Iran in Syria. We've watched Hezbollah in Lebanon. We've watched Palestinian terrorist Hamas down in Gaza, the Houthi rebels down in Yemen. And every one of them have suffered dramatically as a result of deciding to attack Israel. Discussions are now beginning in Israel. You might want to take note of this. Instead of putting Palestinians in prisons so that they can carry on the conflict and we have to give Palestinian prisoners back to them in the negotiations, the subject is coming up instead. What they ought to be done is executed promptly upon attacking. That way there is no surviving Palestinians in this engagement, that they will be consumed completely as a result of attacking Israel. And this, I got to tell you, folks, this is more of the way the Bible describes the conflict between Israel and what's coming to the end of the ages. That is not such a shocking idea, given if you understand the history of the Bible and what God has to say about these conflicts. There are two cities in Samaria called the West Bank that are controlled by the Palestinians, Jenin and Tukarim. And they have refugee camps, or they claim they're refugee camps, holding a whole bunch of terrorists. These are very irritated Palestinians. They're poor. They're not trying to progress and live. Instead, they're being fed weapons and monies so that they can carry out their hatred against Israel. And they've been going into various areas of Israel, attacking, killing, shooting at cars, you know, terror bombings, the whole business. And IDF is now in those areas, and they're rooting them out. The IDF is taking some casualties, but they're also carrying out airstrikes, drone strikes, and there's multiple firefights between troops against troops. And this last week, the terrorist leader in that area for the West Bank was killed, along with dozens of other terrorists. And that is just the mess that is going on there. It's like a small Gaza that has having to be fought there in the Samarian area. The Hezbollah ceasefire that was supposed to happen January 26 has now been extended to February 18th. Israel is saying they will not withdraw from southern Lebanon until the Lebanese army moves in, occupies the ground, and keeps Hezbollah out of the area of south of the Litani River. They got to keep Hezbollah away from the border. Now, there are many violations that Hezbollah has committed during the ceasefire. Israel has responded to them. And in fact, this last week, Hezbollah launched a drone against Israel. It was promptly shot down. And there's also a convoy of military, of people with Hezbollah that was in the Bekaa Valley. Israel launched an airstrike to take them out. And anytime they see Hezbollah trying to gather military forces, they're going in and trying to strike them. Those of Hezbollah that remain, Israel is insisting that they cannot be down against the border. And so that's what that ceasefire is holding for that idea. And Israel is holding firm to keep them away from the border. In Gaza, the ceasefire, quite honestly, is very shaky, this first phase. Hamas has decided in the course of the ceasefire to kind of come out of the holes of the ground and dress up in their best uniforms and their best green banner on them and cover their faces and show their force of power. And they've been staging these hostage releases. Al Jazeera, the Arab news force, has been working with them so they can make a big show of it as to what they're doing. As I mentioned to you before, the hostages are being released, are getting a certificate of release from them, a little guest bag of nice things as they depart, making a big deal about them being released. And of course, at the same time, all of the Palestinians that they have gathered around are threatening them and wanting to kill them, but the Hezbollah is protecting them from the other Palestinians. It's just absolutely staged propaganda, and it's despicable. And Hamas also announced that they had recruited 15,000 new recruits over the course of the year, trying to lay claim to that Hamas has not been destroyed, that they're still a viable force, and they're trying to put on a new show. And in fact, they've announced that they have new leaders. In fact, one of them is visiting Turkey, and Erdogan, the leader of Turkey, has invited him to come over. Turkey, of course, and Erdogan has always supported Hamas against Israel, so we're not surprised by that. But also at the same time this week, the Iranian foreign minister is moving to Qatar and supposedly meeting new Hamas leadership there. They're trying to reconstitute the leadership or the appearance of leadership for Hamas, again, trying to put on the propaganda show and the PR show that somehow they are winning and that Israel is not winning. In fact, the Iranian Khomeini claimed victory for Hamas by saying that they had brought Israel to their knees by a small band. And this claiming victory in the midst of their absolute destruction all around their ears is kind of crazy, but that's the world and that's the way they think. Hamas is clearly in this effort of trying to round up hostages and carry out the ceasefire. It's very clear they're extremely disorganized. disoriented. And on top of that, they're just flat out evil, atrocious people. Israel knows this. That's what they're working with. And thankfully, the U.S. working with Israel, they know this too. And they know it's imperative to get those hostages out of that area as quickly as they can. In an effort to try to at least appease some of the critics of Netanyahu, and with the backlash that's coming from all of this Israeli politics, interestingly enough, Netanyahu offered Lapid and Gantz, these are two of his political opponents, early elections next year to get them to maintain unity within Israel and keep things moving forward to support hostage negotiations and to deal with the war correctly. It'll be interesting to see if they accept his offer. Netanyahu's coalition government is down to a slim margin of a majority as a result of Ben-Gvir and his party pulling out. There's a lot going on politically in Israel, the Supreme Court, whether or not the Haredi ultra-Orthodox men are going to be drafted into the IDF, legislation trying to preempt that from happening. There's a lot of controversy, a lot of difficulty in Netanyahu keeping his coalition government together as they go forward. And I think Netanyahu has just signaled that he knows that in the near future, he may not be able to keep it all together because of the internal conflicts that are in Israel. So that is what's happening in the Middle East for this week. We continue to pray for Israel, the hostages being returned. And as I've asked you many times before, please remember to pray for the hostages. It is still an extremely dangerous and terrible time for them and their families. The release of the other Palestinian prisoners just is not going to make things better for it. Remembering the little yellow ribbon that's being worn by many people in the world today to remember those hostages and get them home. Thank you for viewing this program. And we have a new podcast network for you, and you can go on one of your favorite podcast platforms. Look for Lion Lamb Ministries, and you can see some of your favorite programs. We have 5 current series up on there. And also, we'd love to have you subscribe to lionlamb.tv. And we have a new program out. It's called The Lion's Share. It's interviews with different people in the faith, other ministries. And interesting enough, the first broadcast is a deeper testimony about myself and how Lionel Lamb Ministries was put together. Look for The Lion's Share on YouTube and or lionlamb.tv. And Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We'll see you next time for another edition of Messianic World Update.
Every leader has a story. Every journey of faith begins somewhere. Introducing The Lion's Share, an intimate look into the lives of today's most inspiring faith leaders. From their first encounter with Messiah to their current ministry work, our guests share personal testimonies that will encourage, challenge, and inspire your own walk of faith. Join us for revealing conversations and powerful insights. The Lion's Share, premiering Thursday, January 30th at 7 p.m. with new episodes airing every other Thursday. The Lion's Share, where faith leaders share their story.